Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Roundtable for technically the month of May, but actually it's our E3 preview Roundtable, so thank you for being here. And this month, or this Roundtable show, you just get three of us. So our boy Josh is here joining myself, Tommy, and Jamie. How you doing, Josh?
Hey, I'm really good. Glad to be here.
Yeah. Really good, because we just found out some news. I hope you don't mind sharing this, but we're super pumped about it. And so, awesome. Josh is a new dad, which is ridiculously cool. So congrats, man.
Yeah, thanks very much. Yeah, I really appreciate that. It's, looking forward for the roller coaster. It's been great so far, though. So, yeah.
I want to say something to all of the Patreon people who are normally here, who are not here today, that had told me that they are unavailable. This man has had a kid for 2 weeks, and he lives in Australia. The rest of you people suck. I don't want to hear about being busy. I don't want to hear that crap. The rest of you people suck. He's had a daughter for 2 weeks. It's 8:40 in the morning. None of the rest of you people that actually live in this country and don't have our husband not here.
That's fair.
Oh, thanks for that. That makes me feel good. I hope it doesn't say anything about my parenting quality, but
I was gonna say at any point you have to get up and jet, we'll understand. So feel free to run, take care of a child if you need to. You made a comment right before we started that you're still at the tutorial level, which I really enjoyed about parenting. Yeah. So good luck to you and awesome, man. That's freaking cool. So congrats again. I know we've said it a million times now, but congrats again. Super cool.
Thanks very much. So. Yeah.
So our plan for this roundtable, because E3 starts in technically less than a week, the EA press conference is less than a week from right now. We're just going to talk about E3. Well, we're excited about E3, how much we love E3, all that good stuff. Jamie and I spent half an hour geeking out about E3 before we even got Josh in the conversation, and he was immediately geeking out about E3. So, I think it's something that we all thoroughly love. And so, Josh, let me ask you just what's your history with E3? How long have you been paying attention? Thoughts about it? All that good stuff.
Yeah, sure. So E3 for me, it actually goes back to 2005. I think it was 2005. It was actually one of the reasons I started listening to you guys. I had just started university and I had a bit of a long commute. And so I was given a iPod Shuffle, a 512 megabyte iPod Shuffle. I was on iTunes looking for these newfangled things called podcasts, and E3 had just been on, and so I was looking for all the E3 gaming content I could find. And so I stumbled upon this little podcast called Gaming Uncensored. So I put that on my iPod, and of course it was E4. And I can't remember the exact years, maybe in the first or second E4 you guys had done, but it was amazing because suddenly I had 7 episodes of coverage of everything from E3, all the press conferences, and then each of the days and all the different content. And from that moment, I was hooked on Gaming Uncensored, and I was hooked on E3 because it was just all of the new titles, everything coming out recently, everything coming out in the maybe distant future or near future, and it was just a really concentrated collection of really cool games that were coming out soon. And from that point on, I was hooked. So every year. E3 is awesome. E4 is awesome, and really look forward to the coverage.
Did we explain to new people what E4 actually means? Because I'm sure there's people that don't know.
We have it. We will next week for sure. But I love the fact that Josh's like love of E3 and getting into Gaming Uncensored like went hand in hand. Like he found us because of E3, which makes me love E3 even more. So our coverage of E3 is we call it E4. It's the Electronics Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, and we have some awesome production that the Sexy Sidekick did 12 years ago now, because 2005 was the first year that we did E4, which is nuts. That was a ridiculously long time ago, and so, yeah, that's phenomenal.
Wait, back up. We've done 12 E4s.
Isn't that right? Didn't we do it in 2005? Wasn't that the first year we did it?
I think we did.
Yeah.
Go find that production.
If Josh found this in 2005, that was the first year we did it, for sure. We didn't do anything before that. Mm. So, yeah. That's phenomenal.
So you're up to the lucky 13th E3 this year.
Don't tell us that. I don't want to hear that. That's not good.
Speaking of being ridiculously old, Jamie, what about you? What's when did you take notice of E3? What is it that obviously I know it's a big deal because we've been covering it together for apparently 13 years now or whatever, which is stupid. What's your history with E3?
You know what? Here's my thing with E3. You grew up a lot the same way that I did, I think, in the sense that we both grew up in small towns. There was no internet for a very long time.
Yeah.
Even if there hadn't been internet, E3 stuff really wasn't on it. And so I would get a Nintendo Power or an EGM, and I would always get those issues and be excited because that's where I got the biggest and best E3 content. That being said, I don't remember particularly my first year. I think I really started paying attention to E3 maybe 99. I mean, it wasn't much before we got started because, like I said, E3 has been going for a while, but back in the day, it's not like you could get on the internet and read about this stuff. So unless you picked up a magazine or you know, really put in some serious effort, it didn't get to a certain point in my year every year where I went, holy crap, it's E3.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure. I had a very similar thing. I started following it when I was in high school, which would have been around that same time. I was in high school in 99. And so probably right about the same time. E3, by the way, started in 95. I didn't even know. So I just looked it up. So it's been going since 95. I wasn't paying attention to it then as much. But exactly what you said, there was a little bit of internet. So me and my buddies would sit on, I don't even remember what the gaming sites were back then, way back in the day, whatever. Probably IGN.
Before IGN, okay, let me tell you the story. This is how we are, because before IGN, two of the main guys that I don't know if they still work for IGN, but these two guys named Matt and Pierre did N64 HQ. And they wrote all about the N64 or all about Nintendo, really. And they're where I got started. And then IGN started and they moved to IGN, or I don't know how that happened, but they've been at IGN forever. Their site was the first big site that I was like, ooh, video game news. Awesome.
It was around there that I was following it somewhere online, but you were trying to find anything you could, because that was before YouTube, that was before broadband, and so even like video streaming wasn't something that really happened. So like even watching trailers wasn't a thing, so it was screenshots. So what you did is you scoured everything you could to try to find the screenshot of the big game that had been announced. I don't know what it would have been in 99, but whatever a big game announcement would have been in 99, you're looking all over for screenshots, and then it took like 10 minutes to load the screenshot on your dial-up internet that you're just waiting like line by line, like pixel by pixel, at drawing in the picture. You're like, oh, this is going to be so good, and you're just watching an image very slowly load. That was me and E3 in the late 90s. Good times. Yeah.
What's crazy to me is that it's been going since 95, and we've been covering it since 2005. I don't know if you think the same way that I do, but to have been covering it the vast majority of E3 is ridiculous to me.
It's ridiculous. Like, yeah, this is turning into me feeling very old podcast.
Well, okay, look, I like what Josh just said earlier before we fired up the mics, and that we are now, he's a brand new dad, he's been a brand new dad for 2 weeks, and we are now all to the point where it's like, okay, we love games, we want to spend 80 hours a week playing games, but we can't, and we know that because we're all adults. I feel really old. But I kind of think that's where everybody is at this point. Like, yeah. It's like we've all been doing this for a real long time, and it's something that we still love.
Yeah, totally agree.
I think that's the best way of putting it, because otherwise we can very quickly turn this into, hey, let's list all the ways in which we can feel old. And But yeah, the love of video games and the love of seeing all that new, fresh E3 content every year. That's why we're still here after, you know, however many years.
Yeah. So on that, let's transition into E3 this year. What are you looking forward to? Like, what are you pumped about seeing at E3, or hoping that you'll see at E3? What's something that's got you super excited?
Yeah, it's always a tough mix. So I was thinking about that the last couple of days. So off the top of my head, the first games I'll list are The Last of Us Part 2. Hoping to see some new content from that. Red Dead Redemption 2. Who knows? Maybe that'll be there. Rockstar famously don't do a lot of E3, but that's what I'm hoping I'll see. And those are probably the two big known IPs that I'm really looking forward to. I'll go through a list of some other ones a bit later. But I mean, otherwise, it's the big thing about E3 is showing me all the things I don't know about yet, all the new things, which, again, because it's so concentrated, I get to see things that I wouldn't normally see. We're so busy throughout the year, I can set aside some time during E3, and it's sort of saying to all the different game companies, all right, show me what you got, I'm paying attention. So I'm really looking forward to the things which I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think those two titles you mentioned too are massive. I've read rumors that Red Dead might show up at the Sony press conference, that there's a chance because Sony has this exclusive rights deal with Rockstar that their games are Sony exclusive timed for however long. So there's a chance that's like the big like showstopper thing at the Sony press conference. That would be awesome. I would thoroughly dig that. I hope we see a lot of The Last of Us too.
I think those titles are, I'm really excited about those titles, but since we're talking about Red Dead, I have a question about Red Dead that's kind of off topic. I've noticed every GTA game that is available is available on PC, but I have never, ever, ever seen Red Dead Redemption on PC, and I don't know why. I started looking for it this week because I'm like, you know, I have this gaming rig now, and I really should be playing that. I don't think it's available, and I wonder why Rockstar never released that one.
I've got some information on that because that's a really you've struck a nerve bringing up Red Dead Redemption on PC. I played it on PS3 and absolutely I'd recommend someone buying a PS3 just to play Red Dead Redemption. It is absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, the argument for PC, that's been going on for a long time. I believe so. The reason is, Red Dead Redemption, it was Rockstar, but it was developed by a different Rockstar studio. And apparently the code base is absolutely just hacked together, and it's held together with duct tape and super glue to get to run on the PS3 and the Xbox. And yeah, apparently it's not in a state to be able to port to a PC very easily. So that's apparently the reason why. But it's absolutely frustrating that it isn't on PC.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the good news is there's been a lot of progress with emulation. So there's a lot of work being made on a PS3 emulator that's coming along, and I believe they've got Red Dead running on an Xbox emulator on PC as well. So that might be the way to go if you're looking for it on PC.
Well, I'll tell you what needs to happen for Rockstar. Okay, when we release Red Dead 2. I want a package with both of them, and I want the first one to be an HD remaster because everybody loves those HD remasters. So give me an HD remaster, and I will buy both games on PC. I will totally do that.
That seems like a no-brainer because the fan base for the original Red Dead Redemption is so large and so devout. People are just nuts about it, and understandably so. It's phenomenal. Yeah, I can't imagine why they wouldn't do that. So maybe a nobody's expecting this prediction at E3. We not only see Red Dead 2, but we see an announcement of a Red Dead HD remake. That would be awesome. Like, now you've got me excited about that idea.
Well, here's my thing, talking about things that nobody expects, and people talk about this every year, but I tell you what, if you want to make E3 2017 blow up big, Gabe Newell needs to come out, show the Half-Life 3 logo, drop the mic, and walk off. I mean, that's what needs to happen.
So when does he do that, though? That's the question, is at what moment in E3 would that make sense?
I would think that would be the very first thing, because for the next 3 days, or either the very first thing or the very last thing, because...
But it has to be in a press conference, right? You gotta have a big crowd there.
It's Valve. It's Valve, right. Not necessarily. So.
Yeah, he would totally like just put it on Reddit and I'm just gonna leave this here, guys, and nothing else about it for 3 years, and yeah, we'd all be freaking out.
Yeah.
So they're doing the PC gaming show again. You want to make that must watch from here on out? Do that in the PC gaming show. Get Gabe Newell on there to announce Half-Life 3. You've got yourself a guaranteed audience forever on that PC gaming show.
Yeah. Yeah, and probably a lot more budget because they would have advertising. Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
After that, it probably wouldn't suck so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that thing is brutal. Yeah, if it was a PC gaming show brought to you by Valve or brought to you by Steam, yeah, it would be awesome. It'd be golden. That would be more than welcome. So, hey, another thing that probably won't happen, but we could hope and would be awesome if it does, and we could say we were randomly right about. So, good job. I hope you're correct on that one, because it would be super fun. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, Jamie, other games that you're looking forward to seeing more of E3?
I like the two that Josh picked. I think those are the big ones. I think everybody wants more of The Last of Us, and everybody wants Red Dead. I don't think we're going to see anything from Uncharted. That would be cool if we did, but I don't think that's going to happen.
We'll see what's the new one called? The not new one, but the like expansion for Uncharted 4 with Chloe and what's her face?
Nadine.
We'll see that. But yeah, we're not seeing Uncharted 5. I'm fairly certain at this point.
Yeah. That would be nice to see something like that. I'll tell you, another surprise would be great. Again, it's probably not going to happen, but if Ken Levine walked out and said, "Hey, I got a new BioShock," that would be a big deal.
They're supposedly working on something. I've saw the code name for this game. It's like Brandon or something. It's not Brandon, but it's like a dude's name. I don't remember what it was. I don't know what it is, but I would be very interested to see what that is. I would love a new BioShock. That would be phenomenal. I don't know if we'll get it, but that would.
Well, I don't even really care. Look, BioShock would be cool, but even they've been talking about new System Shock for a while. Either one of those, like I said, if Ken Levine walks out and says, "Hey, I got a new game," he's gotten to the point with whatever they do over there that it's probably not going to be crap. So, whether it's BioShock or System Shock or something that we've never even heard of, if that dude comes out and says, "Hey, I got something," then that'll be great. One thing that I'm looking forward to, last show you and I kind of talked about a little bit. We're not going to get a lot from Nintendo, I don't think. Nintendo was embarrassing last year and the last couple of years. Yeah. But one thing that's cool about this coming E3 is that they will probably show us content from the Zelda DLC that is coming, which will be really cool. I will enjoy that.
Agreed. And maybe more future DLC content. That would be massive if they showed like new areas, new worlds to explore that are, even if it's like, hey, this is coming next year, but here's a teaser of what's coming in Zelda expansion. I would geek out about that.
I tell you, I've normally got pretty low expectations with Nintendo, but I got to say, of all the years, this has to be the year where it is most suited for them to come out and show some content. They've got a brand new console with decent titles, but everyone's just chomping to get some new content for this console, and this is just prime real estate for them to put everything front and center. So my expectations are low, but I'm really hoping that Nintendo shows some cool new stuff.
They have a big announcement, right? Like, that's what we could hope for, is like some, like, get us out of our... If we already know about the Mario, what's it called? Super Mario Odyssey.
That's actually on my list. I've got it written here, that weird new Mario game. I don't know how else to do.
I think yours and my lists are very similar.
Yeah.
Okay,
That's fair.
I love what Josh just said. I don't know if you guys caught that, but he actually prepped for this episode of the Roundtable. I love that. Like that's like the coolest thing ever, because he actually did prep. That's way cool.
This weird new Super Mario thing, though. Like, we know it exists. We know kind of what the premise is of it. I don't know that they can get me excited about it. Like, they could get me curious about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that I'm going to walk away going, "Oh, I'm so pumped about new Mario still." Like, I just don't get it completely. And I don't think they could explain it anymore. I think it's just going to have to be like a wait and see. Wait till you play it.
I'm glad that you brought up the word, the weird new Super Mario. Because I think the way that you make this happen is if it turns out to be like one of those cult classics, like, for example, a Mario 2 that is just like bizarre. You know what I'm talking about? Like, there was that, it was Mario 2, correct? Was that weird departure from everything else Mario.
It was actually a different game in Japan that they didn't just put Mario sprites into to make it Mario for the US. Yep. Yeah, it's super bizarre.
Something like that is how that is probably going to happen, because I think regardless of what they say and do, this Mario is going to be different from your normal Mario.
Yeah, I don't know if it's gonna feel like Mario canon. You know what I'm saying? Like a canon game in the Mario franchise. It's gonna feel like Luigi's Mansion or Super Mario RPG or these other Mario titles that aren't necessarily bad, but aren't like, you think of Mario Galaxy as being in the same lineage as the original Mario 3, Super Mario World, Mario 64, Mario Galaxy. Like, those are all, like, there's a direct line between them. I feel like Mario Odyssey is going to be like a one-off in a weird place, and it's just going to be like, it's open world and it's different gameplay style, and it's just going to be a bizarre thing. And then they're going to put out a more traditional kind of Mario canon game that I'll be more excited about, even though this one could be super cool.
The way I look at this game, it's my analogy, it's almost like a reverse of the Super Mario Brothers movie, or it's like Super Mario coming into the real world. Like, I don't know what that says, if, depending on who you ask. I'm not, but that's just what it reminded me of. So, but hey, look, I hope it's fun. I hope it's fun.
Yeah, you and me both, for sure. Other things I have, just Nintendo wise, maybe a new Metroid on the Switch could potentially be super cool. The last Metroid game they put out was okay, not great. Obviously, we're not expecting new Zelda out of this one, or really any of the other big franchises, first party franchises. Maybe Mario Party on the Switch, I don't know. I feel like is it's more likely going to be a Nintendo franchise that's a little bit younger than I am, you know what I'm saying, like a Pikmin or something from that that era. That was when I wasn't as into Nintendo. If they did something like that, it would probably be cool, but wouldn't necessarily hit me as a gamer. But they've got to make some announcement. I just feel like there's got to be something more that they're bringing at E3.
Yeah. Well, another one on my list for Nintendo, it's going to throw you guys a curveball, but I'm actually looking forward to Pokemon, or at least some sort of announcement of what their Pokemon game on the Switch will be.
Hold up. I'm not gonna make fun of you the way I normally do, because you're an adult with a kid, and so yeah. I'm not gonna make fun of you. But I need for you to explain that to, like, why are you excited about a new Pokemon game? Because, and the reason I bring this up is because Pokemon Go was huge. Okay,
yeah.
Is huge. Like, I was at work the other day. And one of the guys had his phone on. Like, what are you doing? He's like, playing Pokemon Go. I said, are you kidding?
By the way, let me add just really quickly, because I just saw this. They're adding PvP to Pokemon Go, so it's going to even have a resurgence.
Right. So, So all of that means that this is why I asked this question. Why are you excited about new Pokemon? Because I'm not going to make fun of it anymore. I now see what they're doing. We're old. We don't get it. We didn't grow up with it. But I now understand that they really are trying to do something.
Yeah. So look, there's definitely, and don't get me wrong, the target audience of Pokemon is definitely for kids, right? So I make no apologies there. But on top of, you know, the cutesy art style and all of that, the underlying gameplay, it's actually quite quite deep, quite strategic. It's actually a really fun RPG, really fun leveling up, you know, catching your Pokemon, leveling them up, training them. There's a lot of strategy with going into battles, particularly, you know, PvP, if you're battling other people, matching up the different types and alignments. You know, the stories, you know, they're not the best, but it's good fun. And I've played them, I think, I caught the tail end of when Pokemon just launched. I think I was 11 or 12, at least when the games came out to Australia. So maybe that's why. I think they came out a couple of years later here. So, ever since then, I've always enjoyed playing them. So,
how old are you, Josh? If you don't mind.
I'm 30 now. I'm 30.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I figured when you said you were in college about the time that we were doing starting the show. And so I'm about 4 years older than you, which would have put me at about the point to think that Pokemon was really uncool when it came
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, like, I think that was part of it for us, is we were just that slightly off generation. I really think we would dig it if we had gotten into it when we were younger, because it, like, sounds like all things we love. Like, it's RPG-ish, and it's got this kind of questing mechanic that's, yep. you know, exploration-based and whatever. Like, it all sounds like things I'm super into. It always felt kiddie to me because of the age I was when it came out, which is, kind of a shame, maybe.
I'd agree with that.
So that's cool. And we, even though we aren't big Pokemon people, we understand that Pokemon's a big thing.
It's getting bigger.
They keep bringing in new people. Like, kids are still into it, like kids today. And so they have both Josh, who is 30, and they have kids into it. And so they've got just this massive market that's amazing. Good for them.
It's a license to print money, literally. It's just,
For sure. I'll mention a couple other titles that I have noted here. So one I'll mention, because this is probably the outlier that most people aren't thinking about, but Jamie and I have talked about for years how big fans we are of David Cage and all the games that he does, which are weird and different, and some people love them, some people hate them. But last year we saw the kind of teaser for Detroit Become Human, which is David King's game. I am super pumped about that and want to see every bit of everything they have to show about that. I want game to be awesome, and I've loved just about every other David Cage game, so I'm glad to hear you're in the same boat, because
I'd actually forgotten that one, so thanks for reminding me about that. Definitely looking forward to that.
Was it at the Sony conference that they showed that off last year? That's right, isn't it?
I think so.
That's the only place it would make sense. And so, hopefully Sony brings that back out. Again, I don't know if it's enough of a, like, scene stealer that they want to bring it out a second year in a row, but I would geek out. Same thing, and this one's a little bit more of a scene stealer, with Death Stranding, which, of course, we saw that little teaser of last year. That I'm just ridiculously curious about. I don't know if it's going to be a good game or not, but I want to see more of it. And so a lot of what I have on my list is Sony, because we already talked about The Last of Us and we talked about Red Dead. And so Sony's got it pretty strong. I have God of War on my list. There's a lot that Sony had. Final Fantasy VII remake. Something about that, for crying out loud. My goodness, that was my sweet spot. That was like my freshman year of high school or whatever it is. That's my, like, lasting gaming memory from my, like, formative years. And so, show us that.
You know what I'm excited about? You've noticed in the last 20 minutes or so, I don't have a lot of games. What I'm most excited about the last few E3s that we have been shocked by is the stuff that just pops up. The stuff that just pops up that's really good. And it started several years ago, and we talk about this a lot. It started several years ago with Microsoft when they had BioShock, Mass Effect, and what was the third one? I can't remember the third one. They had three that, like, nobody had ever heard of, and it was like, what the crap is that? And now it seems like we find four or five of those every year now, and that, to me, like, that's my favorite part of E3, where you see a game, and I'm not talking about like an indie game, but you see something that appears to be a AAA title that you didn't have any idea was out there.
A good example from the past couple of years is Horizon. That it's a completely new IP. We didn't have any clue what to expect of it, but it looked awesome, and then it came out and was actually awesome. We see a lot of those games that look awesome at E3, and then when they finally hit, you go, they're okay. You know, like, it's not nearly the hype it was at E3. Horizon apparently lives up to that. We still need to play it. But from everybody else we've talked to that just adores that game, that's one of those titles that we were like, what the crap is this? It's kind of like Turok. That was our first thought when we saw it, because we're that old. And then it became a big deal. So yeah, I completely agree. That's my favorite part of E3, is those little discoveries and getting excited about things you weren't excited about before. And something like Detroit Become Human or Death Stranding, even though they're from people we know, David Cage. They're both kind of cult of personality games. They're David Cage and Kojima, and they're, you know, like, we know what to expect from those guys, and so you kind of have an expectation, but still you haven't seen it before. And yeah. Other games on your list, Josh, anything else you want to share?
I've got a couple here. So first one, it's not a big one, Gran Turismo 7. Usual perpetually delayed, but I'm looking forward to actually having some a solid release date for that game. What else? Another one I'll throw out there just for giggles. Beyond Good and Evil, number 2.
Yes.
That's another one of those. It's like every year it's like it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to, and it never does. I pray every year that it does. And
I know. It happens. This is the year, so, right? Come on.
Look, okay. Look, can we be straight up right now? If we get Half-Life 3 and Beyond Good and Evil 2 and the same E3, that's it. Greatest E3 ever.
And the world's going to end, so we'll
play. Yeah, I was going to say. I'm interested, going back to Nintendo quickly, I really hope there's some good third-party titles for the Switch, which is something I think it really needs to actually really lay down a good foundation for a good console. Don't get me wrong, I love the first-party Nintendo titles, but I really want... Part of the appeal of the Switch is portability, and if I could get some other third-party games, which may also be on a PS4 or an Xbox, and I could take them on a Switch and take them when I travel, commute to work, that'd be fantastic for me.
Yeah,
you know what? Here's why I'm worried about Switch, because we've talked about the basically the mobile graphics that are in the Switch. It's a Tegra card, which are great cards, but I'm looking at the Switch going, okay, I hope it's a great console, but realistically, what have we got? Like 2 years out of this thing? Like at most, that's probably what we're going to get, but I've been looking at tech lately, and I want you guys, because this would come in really into play with the Switch. There are a lot of guys out there right now mining cryptocurrency with their desktops and making money. And I'm talking about Bitcoin. There's several other ones out there. They use GPUs and various other things to mine this currency. And where this comes into play with Nintendo is you've got this mobile device that has a very mobile-centric graphic GPU, but these guys that are mining this currency have made like external graphics card type setups where you just buy it, you plug it into USB 3.0, and you plug in a 1080 and off you go. Like, like that's the way. If you want your mining rig to do more, you have one graphics card and it's not enough, you buy one of these setups, which is fairly cheap, and you plug in another graphics card externally. And Razer and some other people have it on the PC side for laptops. Like, if you don't like the graphics card that your laptop has, just buy this external rig and plug a standard graphics card in. So here's what I'm thinking, and it's completely insane, but Nintendo could release one of these fairly easily for the Switch to use while it is docked. And that would be massive. Like, if they could figure out a way to just, here's this thing, plug it in, plug in a graphics card peripheral that they sell, and off you go, at least while you're plugged in, you've got some serious power. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's a peripheral that I think a lot of people would be excited about.
So it's like the N64 expansion pack 2.0.
Pretty much, yeah. Exactly.
I am really curious, whenever they put out some statistics, and I'm sure they're tracking it, of how Switch owners, how much they're playing docked versus how much they're playing as a handheld. Do you have a Switch, Josh?
I don't yet, no.
Yeah, I played Zelda mostly docked because I was recording it. But if I wasn't recording it, I wouldn't have played it mostly docked. I play Mario Kart almost completely in the handheld mode. I think that makes a lot of sense as like the Switch Pro or whatever you want to call that. I think it's definitely a logical step to put out like an HD dock or whatever, where you plug it into the dock that it enhances the graphic resolution. I just feel like that people probably are going to play it more in handheld mode than they are in the docked mode, and that their efforts and their development for that console is probably going to go more towards the handheld side than it is the dock side. And to be frankly honest, Zelda looks better than Final Fantasy 15 does. They're very different, but it looks better. And so like, if you develop for that thing right, you can make it look as good as the other consoles. It's just when you get to porting that it's going to be a big, big trick. And so I don't know if we're going to see the big name, the AAA ports to the Switch. And if we do, I don't know that they're going to be great. You know, like that's why I worry about, like with the Wii, the ports were always, there was something really weird about them that they just weren't nearly as good. And so if you had the option, but the fact that you could do it both docked and on the go makes it more desirable for sure to have those kind of ports, that it would make it a big deal for the Switch. I agree with the third party stuff. I want to see some good third party content for that console.
And the idea of an external add on something is insane. But what I'm saying is there's already people doing that on the PC side of things. Like,
sure. And it makes total sense for the Switch if people are using it docked. But if they're not, they're not going to put that money into it.
Yeah.
That's the key, and I just don't know. So,
I mean, like that. One of these docks is available. I don't know if you've seen it, Tommy, but you can actually buy one of these docks for the MacBook Pro and plug in like a 1080 into your MacBook Pro now because there's native 1080 drivers. So,
Which is killer.
That's insane.
Exciting for PC gaming. That's awesome when we're going more and more away from desktops. Even people who are gaming, like laptop gaming rigs, are becoming a bigger deal. And so to beef up a laptop rig that way is super cool. Like that has absolutely a lot more practical application, I think.
But like you said, because it's an add-on, the only place where it's really viable for a gamer is if you're docked, because you're not going to carry your laptop or your Switch or whatever we're talking about plus that thing,
right? That you have to have an outlet to plug into, I'm sure, because you have to power the car. It's fascinating. I would love to see where the tech goes. So anyway, just to wrap up, because now we're getting off on other things, which is awesome. We want to also give new dad time with baby. So I'll mention just a few more titles that I have on my list that I don't know that we'll see. Battlefront 2, I'm really excited to see more of. I love the fact that it has a campaign mode, and so that's big for me. Elder Scrolls 6, we know it's happening. We don't know anything about it. That would be really cool to see. I would love to see that. Far Cry 5, we already have seen. They've done the release trailer and details and all that kind of stuff, but I'm still pumped about it, and so looking forward to see more of that. And then the last one I'll mention, because I love CD Projekt Red because of The Witcher and have no idea what else they're capable of, the Cyberpunk 2077. I'm fascinated by, I want to see more of. And so I'm hoping that that's a very cool game.
I really hope Cyberpunk 2077 does something like Snatcher did back in the day. Remember Snatcher? Like, Snatcher was that weird kind of a thing on Sega CD that was kind of cyberpunk. I don't remember who did it. It's a big name. It's not Kojima, but it's somebody that we know. And you might want to Google that, because it's somebody that we know, but it was a huge one of those titles that was a cult classic.
And it was Kojima.
It was. See, I was right. I think I do know things. I am qualified to host this freaking show. I really am well qualified.
Done. Well done.
So back to my original point, they released The Witcher 3, okay? The Witcher 3 has become this cultural phenomenon, and people love The Witcher 3. I can't wait to play it. It was on sale on Steam this week, but it still wasn't cheap enough. My point is that if they release this game upcoming and it's as well done as The Witcher 3 is, and they have two of those titles, CD Key Red is set for life. Because here's the thing, that they people love The Witcher now, but for like the last 7 years, The Witcher was like, we got this idea and it's gonna be great if only it works, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If only you can get it to boot, it's awesome. And so if they release another one, then they're finally on the track to being somebody that's legit for a while in the future.
It makes them not a one game studio,
right?
Which would be good for them, obviously. And if they could do it anywhere near the quality of The Witcher 3, you're right. The first two Witcher games, while beloved, have their issues, but they kind of the full realization was with The Witcher 3, and it's phenomenal. Just one of the best games in the past several years, maybe one of the best games ever. It's really, really good. If you haven't played The Witcher 3, you should play The Witcher 3. You don't have to play the first two to at least get through it, because I didn't really know the background that much. And so, yeah, it would be good for them to have another title that they can kind of bounce back and forth with. By the way, The Witcher will likely get a huge resurgence, too, once that Netflix series comes out, assuming that it's good. If it sucks, then may not be great for the game franchise. But assuming it's good, that could be a massive deal for CD Projekt Red, too. And so,
Hold on. Now that you see, you just tripped something else in my brain. And we're gonna be way over time, but since we're here and since we're talking about games that would be awesome to see, did anybody see the sort of teaser ad thing that Netflix put out on social media for a Castlevania animated series?
No.
You should Google that, because that is the event that's coming like next month. Google that and see. Just Google Castlevania Netflix, and you should be able to get a date for that. I just saw it last
week. Way ahead of you.
So what my point is, if that comes out and it's good, and hey, if they happen to seek some Castlevania in E3, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm watching the trailer with no sound right now, and fascinated. It's a dude putting Castlevania into his NES. I don't care about this. I want to see. Ha-ha, there we go.
You'll get there. Just wait.
Yeah. So it kind of has a very anime vibe to it, which makes sense. Yeah, this is fascinating. Thank you for bringing this up. So the first the first show debuted on July 7th.
I just want to reiterate, I do know stuff. I am qualified to host this show 12 freaking years, and I'm still doing my job. Thank you very much.
Every once in a while, it comes in handy. So, yeah, that's super cool. Way to go, Netflix. Way to go, Jamie. That was awesome.
I got to thank my friend Starla Hutchinson for that one, because she pulled that up and put it on Facebook, and I was like, what? I totally freaked out.
Yeah.
But my point is, is this thing is coming. If we see some Castlevania at E3, that would be even bigger.
How cool would new Castlevania on the Switch be? And make it like Castlevania, Metroid, whatever, dude. Metroidvania style, Castlevania, right. Symphony of the Night. Like, yeah. Now you've got to be excited about something new. And that's cool.
That's what Come I on, do, Nintendo. Man.
Or anybody else. We can do it to anybody else. But that on the Switch and handheld mode, I'm digging this idea a lot. That would be super cool.
Yeah, I would be really, really happy about that.
Me too.
That being said, since we're talking about E3 and we have Josh here, because Josh was the only one that was cool enough to show up for E3.
Even with a baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know what time it is in Australia? I mean, you know what? You people, I'll say it again, you people are slacking. but we need to talk about what we're doing for E3 before we get out of here. So, do you want...
Well, I'll save you on that. We'll tease that we're going to do a preview for E3 because we don't have everything locked in yet. We discussed before we started this some of our plans, but we need to finalize stuff. So we will be doing a pre-E3 show, our episode zero, which we've done a few times in the past for our E4 coverage. We'll be doing an episode zero probably on Saturday that's going to detail a lot of our plans for E3 once we kind of get everything worked out and logistics wise and all that stuff. And so your teaser is to check your favorite podcast provider feed on Saturday, probably early afternoon, to get all the details about what we're doing for E3, which will be starting in earnest on Sunday. Hopefully have our first show up on Sunday. And so yes, it is coming. Yes, we have big plans that we're excited about, and yes, we want to share them with you once we get them all figured out. And so probably be on Saturday.
Hey folks, that's like 8 days away. Like, I hope you're aware. It's coming. It's
today
right
is
here.
Saturday. Today is Saturday, so yes. It's a week from right now. We'll be in the throes of E3. So I'm pumped.
Yeah. Woo! E4. There you go.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Cut that into a bit of production.
There you go.
Yeah. Keep all that being said, that. I want to hear the woo E4.
All that being said, we do need a wrap. So Josh can get back to his baby, and we can get on to other things. But we are pumped about E3. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Josh, for being here and for your support of the show. We appreciate it a ton, and for being around forever at this point, which is awesome. It's so cool that you found Gaming Uncensored because of E3 many, many, many years ago. And so I love that story. So thanks for sharing that.
Real quick, before we wrap up, I have to ask a question because Cabbage said something the last roundtable that kind of upset me. Cabbage uttered a phrase that I thought I would never hear from the Cabbage. He said the phrase, "I may not get through the entirety of every show." So my question to you, Josh, you've been listening for a long time. You're here. Well, I got to ask real quick.
Put you on the spot.
How much of each show do you get through before you're like, oh, crap, I don't have time for this?
I'm pretty sure I've listened to every show. And
that's
yeah,
a man
every,
right there.
Every show I put on, I'll make sure I get through it all. It may take a couple of trips in the car to and from work, but I get through them.
God bless you.
I dig it.
That's some kind of sadomasochistic torture. I don't know. That's awesome, man. We appreciate
I mean, to be fair, I may sort of glaze over a little bit when, you know, you get into your rants about current happenings in football or I do pay attention to the baseball. I follow the baseball, but you know, but that's okay. That's all part of the fun. So
baseball, I like it.
Hey, yeah. Cabbage, you hear what this man's saying? Don't be talking crap about how you don't get through every show. That's ridiculous, man. That's unbelievable.
I love the fact that Jamie just used this roundtable to call out all the roundtable people who aren't here. It's phenomenal.
Oh man. I'm going to
have to say something about Chad really quick, too.
I did say something about Chad. I said that Chad was the only adult that is apparently not an adult because
that is fair. Yeah, I remember that now. True.
He, He has his kids, but I think he just like locks them in a room somewhere while he plays video games. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know. That guy plays more games than anybody I know. Good for you, Chad. I don't understand how you do it. So, all that being said, we're going to wrap up. Thank you for being here. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.